Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Olcarco Terminals Limited Q4 and FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shreyas Samant from Stellar IR Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management team of Olcarco Terminals Limited, Mr. Suresh Kumar, Managing Director, Mr. Preetham Bhatta, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sanjay Punjabi, Investor Relations, who will represent Olcarco Terminals Limited on the call. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the quarter and full year ended 31st March 2026, followed by a question and answer session. Please note this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Suresh Kumar, sir. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
The Olcarco Terminals Q4 and FY 2026 earnings call. We have uploaded the results, press release, and presentation to the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope everyone has had an opportunity to go through the same. I will share an overview of the economy, industry, and our business performance over the past quarter and the year, and after which I'll hand you over to Preetham, the CFO, to discuss the financial performance for the quarter and the financial year ended March 2026. Globally, growth is expected to moderate at around 3.1% in 2026 and is forecasted at about 3.2% in 2027. This reflects the impact of geopolitical tensions and trade uncertainties, which continue to weigh on supply chains and cost structures. In contrast, India continues to remain a bright spot with GDP growth of around 6.5%, supported by domestic demand, continued government focus on infrastructure and CapEx, and policy initiatives. Despite near-term challenges, the overall outlook for the logistics sector remains positive, with structural drivers such as pricing containerization, ongoing infrastructure investments, and supply chain realignment supporting the long-term growth. India's major ports handled a record 915.2 million metric tons of cargo in FY 2026, which is a healthy 7% year-on-year growth, and this reflects the strong EXIM and trade activity. Coming to Olcarco Terminals Limited, FY 2026 was a year of strong progress. A lot of purposeful groundwork towards ATL's three-year ambition. Supported by India's growing EXIM momentum and our focused capacity addition at key ports, our profit after tax grew 46% over the previous year. We recorded our highest ever annual volumes, backed it up with disciplined yield management and the operating leverage due to capacity expansion, enabled EBITDA increase 26% year-on-year, and we continue to strengthen our strong customer equity across the markets in which we operate. In line with our strategic priorities, we enhanced capacity at one of our two JNPT facilities, and we have also secured a 10-year extension for the other. Construction of our PFT ICD at Farrukhnagar commenced at Q4 through partnerships with group companies, marking another important milestone in our growth journey. Looking ahead, as geopolitical issues ease, the market conditions should normalize, and we are well-poised and remain committed to contributing meaningfully to India's expanding EXIM ecosystem and logistics infrastructure story. I will now hand over the call to Preetham to take you through the financials.
Morning, everyone, and thank you, Suresh. Welcome to our Q4 FY 2026 earnings call. I will be taking you through the financial highlights, starting with quarterly results. In Q4 FY 2026, we handled total volume, TFS plus ICD, 179,631 TEU, reflecting a growth of 7% over Q4 FY25 and a decline of 7% over Q3 FY26. Q4 FY26, our revenue stood at INR 208 crores, reflecting a growth of 12% year-on-year. EBITDA, excluding other income, came in at 44 crores, marking a 31% increase year-on-year. EBITDA margin expanded to 21.2% in Q4 FY26 as against 18% during Q4 FY25. This is driven by improved operating leverage and disciplined cost management and increasing scale efficiency. This, along with enhanced realization, enables us to maintain EBITDA per TU above Rs. 2000. Net profit for the quarter was INR 9 crore as against a loss during Q4 FY25. For the financial year ended March 26, total volume CFS plus ICD stood at 7,23,035 TUs, reflecting a growth of 6% year-on-year. Revenue for the period stood at 821 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 8%. EBITDA stood INR rupees 162 crores, registering a growth of 26%. Net profit for FY26 was INR 44 crores, marking a growth of 46%. With this, I would like to open the floor for the question and answer session.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Madhu Rathi with Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand regarding our Farukhnagar terminal that is coming out in FY27, and you mentioned that our capacity would be closer to 40% in our investor presentation versus the addressable market there. So I'm trying to understand, sir, how should I look at the volume, because we are mentioning that post after FY30 it will be a 70% utilization. So why is this ramp up slower than expected? Is it because the DFCs volumes have not come in, or if you could help us understand the volume ramp up at this facility?
So at this stage, the volume estimates that we are doing there is based upon our understanding of the market. So to that extent, kindly consider this as a conservative estimate based upon the current market conditions that we are studying. Closer to launch, I think we will definitely look at reviewing the numbers that we have shared. And it's a good 1 year away. So we have just started work on the facility, the PFT now, and there is 3-4 quarters to go through. So kindly await future guidance on that.
Got it. And sir, is there any other competing facility coming out with a new? Is there any new ICD coming out similar to us in that location over the maybe next 1 or 2 or 3 years?
No, in our information, we don't have any. If there's something that you are familiar with, kindly share.
Right. Sir, also, I wanted to understand in our cash flow statement, sir, there is no payment on lease liability, interest related to lease liability. So what was the number for the whole year, if you could help me get that?
So in a cash flow statement, you can find It is lease payments principal 40 crore. You can find in your financing activity. And you can also see interest on lease payment 38 crore as a part of financing. So both these together is 78 crore.
Okay, 38 crore is the interest on lease payments. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
got it. Yeah, got it, got it. Sir, just a final, sir, what would be a capital allocation policy towards either dividend or buyback going forward, if you could help us with that?
So, we are a growing company. There are multiple projects which are aligned. Recently, we also raised equity by way of private placement and also the right issue. So, we are conserving capital right now, and dividends and buyback, if at all has to be considered, we'll consider that at an appropriate time. Currently, the focus is to execute the projects and maintain capital adequacy for that purpose.
Got it. So, just a final question from my side. Sir, the JNPT extension for the 10-year that we have received, sir, is there a possibility of us increasing our throughput capacity there as well, or that is just a time extension that we have received? There will be no capacity extension as such at that facility?
Yeah. So, with regard to the contract extension, it's the same facility for which we have got an extension. However, there are ongoing and planned upgrade work that we will do at the facility, which will help us utilize the available area and the facility much better. So in terms of throughput, given the fact that this is the second facility that we have, Speedy Multimodes, that's the name of the facility, being closer to the port, we expect once the upgradation activities are completed, say by Q3 of this year, we will be able to increase capacity utilization, and therefore throughput should also increase compared to how it was pre-renewal of the contract.
And sir, on the overall overall capacity, is there a possibility of increase there or no?
No, the facility size remains the same. It's a question of how we will utilize that, because there are portions of the yard where we are upgrading, and therefore we will be able to use them better. And the warehouses also, I think we are upgrading them as part of the plan that we have over the next 2-3 quarters, given the fact that we have a 10-year visibility now. Whatever we had kind of not done over the last couple of years in partnership with JNPA and with their guidance, we will ensure that the facility is upgraded. That will release additional capacity. That's what I was pointing to.
Got it. And sir, are we still on track for the 1 million ton TEU guidance for FY28, or that might go that could delay by a year?
As of now, we are on course, and as per the 3-year plan, if we were to look at the volumes that we have achieved in the last financial year and what we are targeting for the next year, are all as part of the 3-year ambition that we have shared. So we are on course to achieve the 1 million laden TU number in FY28.
Right. So just a final question, and then I'll get back in the queue. Sir, a TU, EBITDA per TU has improved from, if I look at the overall year, it was closer to 2200, and if I look at our Q4, it was closer to 2500. So at what trajectory should we expect this going forward? Can we expect to maintain this 2500 crore levels going forward, or was there a seasonality in Q4?
No, I think over the last multiple calls, some of them I'm sure you have attended, we have pointed out the upward trajectory that we have been maintaining on EBITDA per TU. We used to be around 1700, 1800 6 quarters back. And our targeted EBITDA per TU is in the range of 2200 to 2300. So we are happy where we are, and we expect to maintain it at this level going forward.
Got it. So thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you for all your questions. Thank you for your interest.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Karma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Am I audible, sir? Yes, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. On slide 16, can you tell me more about the vision for 2030, and what will be the strategy should we use to grow our volumes?
So this is the aspiration that we have, which the earlier speaker had also asked. So 1 million TEUs by 2030 is the aspiration that we have with regard to volumes. And the foundational blocks for that has been laid substantially with the expansion and the renewal of contracts that we have done last year. And then we also have the upcoming project of the PFT-ICD in Farrukhnagar. These are key elements which will enhance our capacity. So if you were to recall, last year, the same time, we had a capacity close to 8.3 lakh TEUs. This includes the Dadri facility. We have, during the course of last year, built up this capacity to 1 million laden TEUs. And with Farrukhnagar coming up, there will be an additional capacity addition of about 1.2 lakhs, which will happen in Farrukhnagar in a phased manner. Apart from this, we are also actively looking at enhancing capacity in Chennai, which is a very important market for us, and then we have been present there for many years with one facility. Like in the other key ports of Mundra and JNPT, where we have two facilities each, we would like to expand capacity in Chennai also. So our capacity ambition by FY 2030 would be in the range of around 12.5-13 lakh laden TEUs. And with a capacity utilization close to 80%, we will be able to achieve the targeted 1 million TEUs. That will flow through into revenue and EBITDA, and scale efficiencies will come in. And the EBITDA aspirations and the revenue aspirations are in line with the volume growth that we envisage. The other point to note is this is also on the back of expected market growth, which is in the range of 5-6% annually, which we will participate in. So in summary, it's a combination of the India growth story in which volumes on EXIM trade containerization is expected to improve at 5-6%, our own capacity buildup that we have done, the good trajectory that we have had in EBITDA per TEU and margins and profitability to continue, and therefore we are well poised to achieve the 2030 aspiration that we have shared with you in the investor deck. Does that answer your question?
Understood, sir. And when we can expect our Chennai facility?
So I look forward to sharing this in the coming investor calls. I would not want to make a comment on this today. But there is active work as a organization that we are doing to enhance capacity there.
Okay. And so can we talk more about the key growth drivers for the TFS space? What's our current market share and how can we grow further into that?
So as a industry watcher, I'm sure you understand that there is a certain amount of EXIM trade which happens in the country, linked to the GDP growth of the country, which is 6.5%. EXIM trade normally mirrors the GDP growth of the country. And out of the containers and the port volume which comes in, there is a certain percentage of them which becomes the addressable volumes for CFSs. This number varies across ports, so it could be in the range of 27-28% in some ports, around 40% in other ports. Overall, in the ports that we are present, this averages around 27-28%. We expect this number to continue to remain like that. Every port in the country has ambitions for growing volumes, and if you were to look at JNPA or Mundra, they have indicated the ambitions that they have. So that reflects the overall growth story with regard to volumes. And out of the addressable volumes which come into India, we are well positioned with two CFSs each in the two large ports of Mundra and JNPT. And overall, the facilities that we have of seven, we are present in ports which address about 80-85% of India's EXIM trade. Our estimated market share at this point in time, this is an estimated number, on the CFS side would be in the range of 10-12%. We don't have published numbers, and therefore this is a caveat. This is based upon a best estimate that we have. And we have constantly held on to that share over the past few years. With the growth that I've spoken about in the containerized trade, with the capacity that we have, and if we maintain our market shares in the range that we have maintained, then we are confident of achieving the growth numbers that we have talked about. Along with this, for profitability growth, which we have seen, there are a lot of initiatives that we have taken. One, with regard to the operational excellence that we are committed to, with whether it is digitalization, whether it is the CFS Mag, My CFS app that we have launched to kind of ease the whole process for a customer. There are targeted investments that we have done with regard to technology, and also now the yard management systems and various other things with regard to operational efficiency. Upgradation of the reach stackers and the other equipment that we use, which yields better fuel efficiency. These are all things that we have done, which, or some of them are in progress, which have contributed to the steady improvement in profitability. So a combination of the volume growth that we have talked about and the drivers around capacity, operational excellence, wherever technology permits us to deliver better operational parameters, we do that. This is what are the key drivers that, that we envisage will take us to our aspiration of 2030.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much for the answer. And all the best for FY27. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Will join back the queue.
Thank you, Deepak.
The next question comes from the line of Katha Jain. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I just wanted an update on the capacity expansion that you were doing and what sort of capex plan do you have for this financial year?
I'll request Preetam to share this. Thank you for your question, Katha.
So, thank you for the question. So, as we have mentioned in our investors presentation, we are looking for a 400 crore capex spend for various expansion projects which we are talking about. In this year, there is a speedy upgradation thing which is coming up. For overall Farukh Nagar project, we have allocated a capex spend of 226 crore. And part of that would come into this year, as we have said that a PFT construction has already been started. Plus, there has been an MOU which is already entered with our group company. For a Farukh Nagar project, 200 plus crore capex which we have budgeted. Certain part of that would accrue in current year and certain part of that...
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt, but you're not audible.
Sorry, my bad. So, am I audible now?
Yes, yes. This is much better.
So, what I was saying is we are planning an upgradation of JNPT Speedy facility that would be an outflow of around 20 crores. In terms of Farukh Nagar project, there is a capex outlay of overall 200 crore plus, and certain part of that outlay will happen in current financial year. So, these are the two major projects which we are looking to finance in this financial year, apart from the regular maintenance capex which we are doing.
All right, got it.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashok Shah with Eklavya Invesco Family Office. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. We have last year paid 58 crore as interest charges, and we had raised around 80 crores from rights issue and 38 crore from further. And we have further capex. So how we are going to finance over next one or 2 years, and what will be debt increase or what will be debt repayment? Do we have a plan for?
Yeah. So in our investors deck, we have mentioned that for various projects which we have been talking about, there is an capex outlay of 400 crore which we are estimating. We have existing investments in our balance sheet which we are holding on. It is close to 45 crores which we are having. The existing business of the company continue to generate strong cash flow in the tune of 80 to 90 crores every year. Apart from that, as you have told, we have raised equity, and only part of that equity we have called as of now. So that additional equity would also be used for financing our capex. So together with existing cash flow, the future cash flow and the equity, we are looking to raise 300 crore for this project financing. Balance amount would be bridged through bank financing, external financing. But in our estimate, it would be restricted to somewhere around 100 crore, and which for the company of our size, we can absorb. As of now, company doesn't have any debt on its balance sheet, and the company is debt-free. I hope this clarifies your question. Hello?
Oh, yes, sir. The current participant has been disconnected. We'll move on to the next question. It's from the line of Madhu Rathi from Counter Cyclical Investments. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity once again. So the 400 crore capex that you mentioned, 20 crore was for JNPT, 200 crore was for Farooq Nagar, and the rest 180 crore just towards?
So we are planning an expansion in Mundra. For that, we have allocated certain amount. And we have also considered Chennai project expansion. The balance amount would be is allocated towards Chennai. So apart from Farooq Nagar, speedy upgradation, Chennai and Mundra, these are the two projects which we have as a part of our 3 years plan.
Got it. And sir, so the expansion that we are planning, so the investor presentation deck that we have given, that 1.35 million TUs, this doesn't include the expansion that we are planning as of now. The whatever the incremental volumes would be, that would be different, or those are considering the expansions that are planned at Mundra and Chennai?
So this considers the expansion plans in these places.
Got it. And sir, lease liabilities have, I understand because of all these capex. So is it fair to assume that this is the peak lease liability number in our balance sheet that we can expect? And is that fair understanding? And what would be the lease outgo at these? It would be closer to 90 to 100 crores for next year going forward?
So yes, all our lease extensions have happened. CWC Mundra has happened. PD JNPT lease extension has happened. Also, the extension at ATL JNPT facility is done. So this is the quarter in which we have all our lease liabilities which are coming in. So as of now, there is no new lease contract which is coming in. And the only regular increments, the contractual increments would be part of future increase. So, yes, correct to say that as of now, all the lease liabilities and outgo have been factored. And future, based on this existing position, the outgo for the year would be in the range of 95 to 100 crores.
Got it. So that was from my side. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Madhur.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sonal with Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Sonal Minas. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible, Sonal. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So, I just wanted to understand the plan that you've laid out for 2030. The current realization per TU, basically, we assuming some gain from there, as we grow from the current capacity to the 1.3 million that we've spoken about. So just wanted to understand what are the key drivers for improvement of realization in that, if we could explain that. Thank you.
Yeah. So if you were to look at the build-up and in capacity,
yes, sir.
If we were at about 8.3, in that some of the portions have been completed, which have been indicated in green in the deck.
Yes.
We have the balance facilities to come up. So we are currently 6 EFSS, and we have got an ICD at Dadri, which is a joint venture that we have with Concor. In future, we will have a rail-linked ICD in Farooq Nagar, and the margin profiles in that location would be different from the existing facility. So that will add to the numbers that you're seeing, the realization and the profitability numbers for the balance portion of the five-year plan. The other thing which will come into play is also the scale efficiencies, which we believe should help us in places where we have expanded capacity, like in JNPT. and the plants that we have in Mundra. So it is a combination of scale efficiencies due to capacity that we have built up, better capacity utilization as we go through the next 2 to 3 years, and the addition of a rail-linked ICD to our portfolio. This is what will help us maintain the trajectory and accelerate as we go towards the FY 2030 ambition.
Okay, got it, sir. So my second question is with regard to the debt that we see on the books. As we hit this peak capacity by 2030, is it fair to assume the borrowings will remain in the same range, around 760 to 800, 900 range, or we will start seeing debt repayment during the next 4 years?
Just want to clarify here first, the borrowings which you see in the balance sheet, these are not actual external borrowings. These are lease contracts which are accounted as per Ind AS in the form of ROU assets and ROU liabilities. So while you see the borrowings in liability side, similarly you can see the ROU assets in the balance in the asset side, which to a large extent knock off against each other. So that's point one. As I said before, the lease liabilities we are at present considering the existing business. All the lease liabilities have been accounted now. So this, even this number will not go up. It will come down as we account for the depreciation on these ROU assets and the interest and the lease payouts happen quarter on quarter. To clarify, in terms of external debt, company doesn't have any debt on its balance sheet and the company as of date is debt free.
Got it, sir. Thanks for explaining, sir. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sanal.
Thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Ashok Shah. Sir, you may proceed.
Sir, thanks for again giving the opportunity. My phone got disconnected. So just now you replied that there is no actual borrowing. So what is this 58 crore finance cost consist of?
So finance cost consists of interest part which is inbuilt into your lease payments. So as per Ind AS accounting standard, the lease payments are typically classified into two buckets. One is the depreciation and the other is interest. So certain part of that is being treated as interest and certain part of that is being treated as depreciation. In current year, we had an external debt which we had taken for certain acquisitions in the past. So the small part of that overall 58 crore is the debt which we have paid to, is an interest component which we have paid to a NBFC. By year end, that debt was fully repaid and going forward, we will not have that interest. However, lease related interest outgo will continue to be there in our P&L as per the Ind AS accounting standard.
What would be lease-related the interest cost in account every year?
So it is Ind AS 116 which we have to refer to. The lease payouts are considered as an obligation and your lease payments over a period of lease lives have actually been capitalized. And against that, an ROU liability, right to use liability is created. That's why in our balance sheet, you can see 700 crores of ROU liability, which is shown under borrowing. And a similar amount is being shown as ROU asset. So these two balance sheet items actually knock off each other to a large extent. And these are not actual assets or these are not actual borrowings, but this is something which is all the listed company has to follow being part of Ind AS 116.
So this goes to the P&L account or just accounting entry?
So it goes through an P&L. However, the lease payments, a certain portion of lease payments gets classified under finance cost and a certain portion gets classified under depreciation.
So every year around 50 crore will be debited like this?
It will be reduced because the actual debt on which the interest payout is supposed to be there, that will not be there going forward in the next year. However, interest related payouts would continue to get reported under finance cost.
And are there any further plan to raise fund?
So we have already raised fund 120 crore. However, only first tranche of that fundraise has been called. As the projects go live and the requirements are there, we will make subsequent call. So around 80 crores is yet to be called on totality of right issue and the private placement, which will happen in the current year. Apart from that, there is no additional equity which we are planning right now, considering the projects which are in pipeline.
Thank you for replying and best wishes for current year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question comes from the line of Purav Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible, Purav. Please go on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. I'll just post my topics. I have two topics of conversation. First, how is the construction progressing at the PFT ICD at Farukhnagar? And when will this be fully completed? And what kind of top-line growth can we expect from this project? And my second topic would be on the lines of EBITDA margin. What led to a such a strong 21% EBITDA margin, sir? And can we expect this to be a benchmark in the going forward in the coming quarters? Thank you. Over to you, sir.
So in terms of EBITDA margin, I will say that throughout the year we are at a 19%, around 19-20% EBITDA level. So I will not talk much about quarter-on-quarter variation. And also the number which we very closely track is EBITDA per TU. We have been maintaining that at around 2300-2400 level with the existing expansions and the additional capacity which is available. We want to maintain it that at the similar level and maybe slightly improve that once the volume goes up. So that is where our endeavor would be. The Farukhnagar project which we are talking about will have a rail business as well. So the realization per TV in Farukhnagar would be higher as compared to our existing business. And that would form like 20-25% of my overall business once that is fully live. So that would give a substantial increase in my EBITDA per TU level. If you look at my 2030 projections, which is part of our investors deck, from existing 2300-2400 level per TU, we are looking to go up to 2800 level. So all the efforts which we are putting in terms of maximizing our capacity and the new projects, we plan to reach at the level which we have mentioned in our 2030 growth plan around 2800 level. That's what we will push for.
And just to complete the answer with regard to the question on timelines, it is in January of this year that we started construction. The groundbreaking ceremony was held in January. As you would know that this is being done through group companies and the timeline for the PFT completion is April 2027 and the ICD completion maybe another 2 quarters after that. So that's what the plan is.
Okay, so can you just share some light on what led to such growth in Q4 of EBITDA margin?
In Q4, there has been a certain reduction in terms of other expenses which is being there. So this is driven by operational efficiency. Some of these expenses would come back and that's why I'm saying instead of looking at the overall quarterly results, I think we should look at the quarter-on-quarter performance where the EBITDA has been steadily maintained at around 2400 level. So that is where we want to maintain going forward.
So just to complement Pritham's response, what I would like to add is the EBITDA margins as you would understand, flows from the kind of commodity profile and the revenue that we end up getting. There are multiple factors which come into play, the kind of commodity, the ratio between the 20 and 40 containers, the 20 and 40 feet TEUs that we do, and then the over-dimensioned cargo which comes in. Plus, there is also the occasional spike that we get through auctions of long-standing cargo. So a quarter, if you are to see a bigger jump, some of these factors would have all come together, is what I would leave with you as somebody who watches how the performance is. Does that clarify? But the steady state number is what Preetham had said. What we would like to be is in the range of 2,200 to 2,400. Quarterly variations are on account of some of these factors. Kindly keep an eye on how the trend is, and the multiple quarter number is a better indicator.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for your time, sir, and such a detailed answer.
Thank you.
All the best for your upcoming time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Purav. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Sorry for joining the call a bit late, so in case of some questions might be repetitive. In terms of overall volume, what we handle at CFS or ICD, how much would be our share of first mile or last mile, and how opportunity further could be there, or any plans to capture that market incrementally going forward?
Thank you, Vikram, and just asking how you are. And in terms of what you asked, in first mile and what do we do with that, the kind of numbers which come in. So I would kind of point to a surrogate indicator with regard to the DPD and the DPD cargo and the other cargo which comes in. So that will give you a kind of indication of where the cargo is kind of headed for. So as you know, say for example in JNPT, the percentage of DPD containers has close to about 80%. But then after clearance, they come in into our CFSs, which means that they are kind of meant for locations which are not in the immediate vicinity, could be in the 300-400 kilometer kind of a range. And there are opportunities for us to participate in a bit of transportation assistance that we can give for customers. There is also value addition in the form of de-stuffing and unbundling of cargo that can be done. So some of these opportunities we already tap into. But we have not factored this into our revenue planning because we would remain focused on the CFS operations, and wherever there are opportunities in terms of assisting customers by providing integrated services, we kind of point that out to the other companies in the All Cargo Group. Say, for example, there is a certain amount of cargo which comes into our CFS because of the FCL, LCL businesses of the All Cargo Group. Similarly, we have got All Cargo Logistics, erstwhile Gati, which is also part of our group, which is capable of these kind of transportation. So we kind of point these customers to those businesses so that for a customer, it is like dealing with the overall All Cargo Group. But specifically with regard to All Cargo Terminals participating in this, we have not taken a position on that. There could also be opportunities for adjacent warehousing which come up, 3PL support. And you know that these are all part of the All Cargo Logistics suite of products. So we leave it to them to handle that.
Understood. And in terms of what we saw during COVID, the trade disturbance and disturbance in shipping line schedule also helped CFS players to earn more on the ground rate. So are we seeing such kind of opportunities emerging currently in terms of a better margins from the ground rate kind of scenario with this trade disturbance?
Yeah, Vikram, your memory is very sharp as always, and what you refer to is the extraordinary ground rent which had come in because it was a very disrupted kind of supply chain operations at that point in time. We would, and then in the interest of everyone, it's good that the supply chains keep working very well, and we support it in a manner in which it is positive for the customer. So in terms of ground rent, the last year has seen a strengthening of ground rent, but not because of disruptions. It's simply because of what we believe is the commodity pricing changes which keep happening and the fluctuations in international freight. These are factors which kind of contribute to customers upstocking and therefore keeping a larger amount of, giving us a larger amount of dwell time. So last year we had in some quarters better ground rent realization than in the others. And we have factored those seasonality things as we build our plans for the future. But largely we are happy with regard to throughput, and if there is a larger amount of throughput which happens, it will help us. Ground rent, as again, you are a very keen watcher of this industry. From a significant portion of the CFS revenues, I think the ground rent percentages have progressively come down. And therefore, there are other lines of or revenue that we make our business model on.
Got it. And any idea within industry body that when commercial operation on JNPT DFCC can start?
No, it is very close to commercial operations is the latest update that we have. I wouldn't have a specific date for that, Vikram.
Okay. And are they also setting the JNPT is also, I think, for a long time been ACJ development has been in process. So any help is coming for the CFS business from the ACJ, or it won't be much play for CFS guys from the ACJ development?
No, I think the ecosystem and JNPT becoming stronger helps the Exim trade, and we welcome all actions, and JNPT has been quite proactive on various fronts. There are some things which obviously in a collaborative manner that we have to do with JNPA, but having said that, JNPA is one of the progressive port authorities that we have in the country. They balance what is required in terms of all the stakeholders. Definitely what we do needs to benefit the customers. And there are opportunities which can come in. There is expansion of ACZ. There is a plan for dedicated areas. So all these things we will closely watch. And then we are well positioned. So as one of the key stakeholders in the JNPA ecosystem, our views are sought. And we kind of do all that is required to make ease of doing business for the importer and also to ensure that operationally the ports function at a very smart level. Having said that, there are occasional periods in which you have disruptions due to external reasons. We are passing through one of them currently because of a bit of terminal congestion, shortage of transport fleet. But these are seasonal, which we build it into our business plan, and we are confident of addressing them as we go ahead.
Understood. That was very helpful, sir. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Vikram.
The next question comes from the line of Kiran Gadge with Nightstone Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So due to DFC connectivity, you see throughput increase due to faster turnaround time. So handling, the cargo handling and transportation revenue will increase. So how much revenue does the company earns from handling the cargo versus warehousing the cargo at CFS?
So I think the DFCC estimates, let it play out. So we will talk about that once those aspects really fall in place. But the second part of your question with regard to what percentage of our revenues come from handling warehousing, also linked to the earlier question which Vikram had asked, I think over a period of time, ground rent as a percentage of CFS revenues have progressively come down. And that is currently running at close to a 20% level and in terms of what the ground rent realizations that we have. And then there is the rest of the work that we do with regard to transport, handling, the value-added work that we do and the bonded, the bond income that we have, and then there are the auctions. So that's the overall revenue pie if you were to look at for a CFS. And ground rent over a period of time is progressively reduced. Does that give you clarity on what you were asking, Kiran?
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, would it lead to increase of realization? But do you,
I think more throughput is good given the fact that it's not a solely ground rent driven business that we have, right? So there is handling and transportation, which are significant chunks, and then there is also the de-stuffing, stuffing, and the value added work that we do. So our business from only being around ground rent has evolved into something more than that, in which we offer value-added services, and therefore the throughput growth is something that we welcome. And we have seen throughput in the ports increasing at a steady clip. JNPA last year has grown at about 7.5%. And we have also seen that helps in building our revenue profile in the market.
Okay, so would it increase the realization?
Realizations, I've told you, right, and in terms of where we are currently, EBITDA per TU levels, which are quite healthy numbers, and we also operate in a competitive space, so we can't kind of push that beyond a level, and therefore in our modeling and the future that we have planned, we will be happy to maintain our EBITDA per TU at the levels that we currently are, which is about 2,300 to 2,400. And whenever the Farooqnagar project happens, that will give us a fillip in the realizations.
Yeah, got it. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Kiran.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suresh Kumar for closing comments.
So thank you. Thank you, everyone, for the range of questions that you have shared with us. It only tells us the keen interest with which you're watching the company's performance. I wish to assure you that we are well on course to achieve the 2030 ambition that we have set for ourselves. It's been a strong quarter and it's been a strong year that we have had, basis the strategic plans that we have drawn out. I look forward to coming and talking to you in the coming quarters and sharing with you the progress that we achieve on the strategic priorities. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of All Cargo Terminals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.